stars of El Pacifico, Will Hendry.
Oh, well, good evening and good morning. Saturday. So officially, it's Saturday, the most blessed day of the week, and it's here, and we're really happy. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm here with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard, and we also have Herb Sewell and Bobby Dooley on the line, and we're also going to, after we get finished talking about what we're finished talking about here, Kimberly Guilfoyle eating a Twinkie in slow motion, you know, then we'll get into some other things.
Mr. Henry, it's Bobby.
Go ahead.
The laugh that you give that, you minimize the importance of it. And
Herb, go ahead, Herb. Just the two of you talk among yourselves, okay?
Wait. Hold on. I'm going to talk to him, but you weren't going to comment.
I just thought I'd kick it off, you know.
Why did you laugh?
Why did I laugh? Because you raising the issue of Kimberly Guilfoyle eating a Twinkie in slow motion.
I would like to comment, if you don't mind.
You can comment, but I'm asking Mr. Hendry why he laughed.
I can tell you why he laughed, because you're making an issue of a woman eating a Twinkie.
Mr. Sewell, without bringing up your past criminal activity, because it was perverse, I don't think that you, it leaves much to the imagination of one such as you to know what it is I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, Ms. Dooley. I know what you're talking about.
You do?
Yes, I do. I just, first of all, don't know if it happened or not.
It most certainly did happen, Steve.
Ms. Dooley, we have a, and I can tell you my wife got a brilliant.
Don't talk that close to it.
I can tell you my wife, I heard her scream, and she called me in the living room at that time.
What happened, Phil?
You heard a scream.
Yeah, can I...
Hold on, I'm talking to you. You heard a scream.
Well, don't talk over me to my husband. I'm a liberated woman, you know.
Ms. Dooley, if I might, it's Herb Sewell. We are simply trying to hear what your husband is trying to say.
Mr. Hendry doesn't need you helping him. Don't talk over me, Mr. Hendry. Steve, don't talk until I'm done. And let's see, what else am I upset about?
Yeah, make sure you get it all out.
That's it.
Okay, now may I talk to your husband?
Go ahead.
Steve, what did you just say?
I said, I heard my wife did a thing.
No, I know what he said.
Would you let him say it, please, Ms. Dooley?
Ms. Dooley,
Why are you stuttering and going, Why are you doing that? Is it because you have a guilty conscience?
I do have a guilty conscience. When it comes to a woman eating a Twinkie in slow motion, it makes me wonder what happened to me in my life that I can't enjoy something like that.
A Twinkie?
No, not the woman eating it. And
all right, enough of the sidebar chatter. What were you saying, Mr. Dooley?
You've scared my husband, Mr. Hendry. All right, can you slow down?
Oh, I've scared him, have I?
Yes, you've scared him. Steve, come here.
I'm scared.
Come here. Go ahead.
Yep, Jenny. I was in the bathroom. I was lifting weights.
You were lifting weights in your bathroom?
In the bedroom. I had to go to the bathroom. And I lifted a weight and I heard a scream.
I'll take it from here, Steve. He heard me screaming. All right?
Well, this is exactly what we wanted to hear. You taking it from here. Because your husband is a babbling imbecile. We can't understand a word he's saying. And we are certainly interested, Ms. Dooley, in what it is he has to say, unless, of course, you can say it better.
That's exactly what I'm attempting to do. I'm attempting to say to you, Mr. Hendry, that my husband... I screamed when I saw the first...
The first what?
When I saw Ms. Guilfoyle biting into that Twinkie, and it was in slow motion, when I saw the first bits of the... cream filling.
Saw the first bits of the cream filling come out of the Twinkie. And
all right. Okay. I get it.
You understand what she's saying?
I understand what she's saying.
That's when I started to scream. And I must have screamed for I don't know how long. It must have been, it felt like it was hours, but I know.
It's only a couple minutes because I was screaming and I was still in the middle of some girls. And
you were in the... I'm sorry?
I was in the middle of doing some bicep curl. And you were in the middle, Mr. Dooley, this is Herb Sewell. You're in the middle of doing bicep curls, correct?
That's right.
And you did not stop the bicep curls to see what was wrong with your wife. You wanted to continue those.
Steve does 10 reps, and then he rests. 10 reps, and then he rests. And I started screaming when?
And I was in the middle of the second 10.
You're in the middle of your second 10 set of repetitions with your bicep curls. Your wife is screaming, but you're not going to put those dumbbells down and go and see what's wrong until you're done. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. What, kidding? I may be a criminal and a felon and a reprobate beyond the pale and an individual who will never be forgiven or forgotten by society at large. I give you all of that, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, but I can assure you, even I, Herb Sewell, even I don't understand a husband putting the dumbbells down and taking his own dumbbell ass out.
I object to that kind of language and referring to my husband that way.
I think it is applicable, Miss Dooley. Your husband is doing 10 reps with his dumbbells or whatever he calls it, and the real dumbbell is him and the fact that he doesn't go to see what his dumbbell wife... Well,
okay.
You know what? I don't need this. I really don't.
You know my wife, dumbbell. That's exactly what I called her, sir. Your wife is a dumbbell. You're a dumbbell. You have dumbbells in your bedroom. For all I know, you crap dumbbells. That's all I have to say. Good evening to you.
Okay, Ms. Dooley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and to be honest with you, I'm much more comfortable without having that pervert on the phone.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about that pervert, as you call him. He's the only one that was making sense of the three of you. Okay?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? Herb Sewell, that pervert, that felon, that convicted child molester, all the things you say he was the only one making sense. He was absolutely right. Why did you not stop with the dumbbells and go and see what was wrong with your wife?
Because I knew she was looking at a Twinkie.
He knew that what I was screaming at was the Twinkie cream filling and the fact that it had come, it squished.
So you were screaming, and you don't know for how long, and you don't know, you might have blacked out because Kimberly Guilfoyle ate a Twinkie in slow motion, and the cream filling came out, and it looked all real weird and quasi-sexual and symbolic and offensive.
In a word, yes.
In a word, yes. Okay. What is it that you want me to do, Ms. Dooley?
You know what, Mr. Henry, when I first came on your program, I wanted you to perhaps understand what I was saying and understand how I was representing the voice of millions of American women and children. But you know what? After listening to you and your pervert friend, there isn't really much you can do for me, Mr. Henry. I don't think there's very much you can do for you. And when I say you, I'm really referring to your everlasting soul. Because I think by this time, say tomorrow night, maybe 9, 10 o'clock, your soul will be black with Satan's defecation. Good evening to you.
Well, that certainly put a capper on that, didn't it?
Put a capper on it? I think there, as I've thought for many years, that there's something wrong with her.
Yeah, but she just said that Satan's going to crap all over you.
No. Did she really, bud? I've about had it with the insults. You know that? I've had it with the insults. I've had it with being told I'm going to cook in hell. That part I'm really tired of.
Yeah, but I mean, it's free speech of America.
Yeah, I get all about free speech, you know? The free speech that we got in this country nowadays, my God, I wouldn't let that pass for scribblings on a bathroom wall in some ages, in some of the epics and the eras that mankind has passed through. What we call free speech today wouldn't pass for graffiti in a catacomb toilet. Thank you. My name is Phil Hendry. We'll be right back after these messages here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
That's pretty good,
he's
Mr.
Our
Henry.
Bitch.
Well, thank you
the
very much.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I just jumped out. I'm just calling in. Yeah, that was really bitching.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, this is Archie.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to tonight go over to whatever Twitter feed, and maybe in the next few minutes we'll get a Twitter feed up that is reflective of the alleged dialogue happening right now in the Twitterverse between Israel and between Israel and its opponents, let's say. I don't even want to characterize them as Palestinians because I don't know that Israel's opponents – are Palestinians. I really don't. And I'm not about to pander to the propagandists, especially in this country. The most dishonest conversation happening about Israel and Palestine right now, or the Israeli-Arab conflict, or whatever the hell you want to call it, happens here in the United States. Because in the United States, we got a bullcrap machine that works overtime, as you well know. And anybody can have access to it. That's how free we are. This country is a free nation. It's the freest nation on earth. And what does that mean? What it means is everyone has equal access to the bullcrap machine. You can generate all kinds of bullcrap. And you can send it all kinds of places. Because the truth is difficult. The truth means study. The truth means perspective. The truth means argument and debate. The truth means making an intelligent point. And of course, it also means someone willing to receive it. In America, a country in love with Facebook and Twitter and these other instantaneous bullcrap machines, we're not in love with the truth. We're just in love with, you know, spreading our bad, funky breath wherever we go.
God, Mr. Andrew, that's pretty cynical.
That's exactly what we're interested in. In the United States, it isn't truth so much as it's bad breath. And so Twitter tonight is alive with the comments of all kinds of people outraged and indignant on both sides. I happen to personally, and I'm not going to say, you know, I shouldn't say it, because one of the things that's a death knell for anybody that, you know, purports to do humor is to give an opinion about something. Because I, you know, right away, if somebody doesn't share my point of view, I don't think they're funny. You know, I'm sorry. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's some people that I think are really funny who don't share my point of view. I've mentioned, like, Randy Rhodes. I think she's funny. Stephanie Miller is funny. For some reason, I don't find either Jon Stewart or the other guy. What's his name?
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen, I don't find either one of those guys funny. I don't. And I'm not saying I don't find liberals funny. I do. Like Lionel. I think Lionel's funny. Maybe I'm not that bright. Maybe I don't get how cool and sophisticated. I don't. Bill Maher, not only is Bill Maher not funny, he's now taken on the persona of kind of a crusty, cranky hack. You know? I mean, especially when he starts laying out lines about how, what was that line he had about the brothers? You know, he did a Michael Moore. He fell into the black person as the badass ass kicker stereotype, and he invoked that as a sort of a comedic threat. I just find the guy kind of, you know, I don't like him. But be that as it may, now tonight we've got on Twitter people that are slinging the arrows of outrageous fortune at each other, Israel and Palestine, and I'm going to try and get a Twitter feed going here. I try to find a Twitter feed. Pardon me, if for those of you watching Phil TV in HD, if I go off of camera slightly here as I enter in twitter.com, and we'll see just what the hell we find. What do you think, bud?
Well, I think there's probably, if you enter in, like, Twitter, probably enter in Twitter, like, Twitter Jew? Or,
what do you mean, Twitter Jew? You think that's going to bring up anything other than, it'll probably bring up some comedy account. Let's take a look here. This is my Twitter account here. Some of you may be able to see this online. Real Phil Hendry. These are my tweets. Which, by the way, this is a picture of me. I don't know if, and you don't have to have Phil TV and HD to listen to this description, but we have a thing called Flashback Friday. And on Flashback Friday, we show some pictures of me. And this is one of me and Steve Downs and Tommy Caldwell and Pam May, and I'm in the studios of KWST Radio back in 1980, and I'm the guy with the smiling face. So
that's what you call the Flashback Friday picture.
That's our Flashback Friday picture. Now, here's one from last week. No, this is one from last night. That's a picture of the floor of my studio with a spoon, a plate.
Oh, my God. Why don't you vacuum the floor in here?
Well, I'll tell you why, Margaret, because I got people coming in here and throwing up.
I haven't thrown up in here for a couple of weeks.
Well, isn't that fantastic? There's my L.A. Rams hat. There's an empty bottle of French's mustard. And there's a plate and there's a spoon. So what do you want from me? And then we have my Little League picture.
This picture here, is this a real picture or did you fake it?
What do you mean, did I fake it? How could I fake it?
Matt, you got some kids to do that.
That's me in Little League.
Let me see this. Well, the name says Hendry, but that doesn't say anything.
Oh, come on, Margaret. Are you nuts or something? It's a black and white picture. Doesn't that look like me?
Well, I'll admit it's a cute little boy. Is it you? I don't know.
It's me. It's me in Little League in the Arcadia Coast League back in the day. That's Mr. Brennan, our coach, and Mr. Combs was our other coach. And they were great guys. And they didn't molest us. And they didn't do anything inappropriate to us. And they didn't say anything weird. And they taught us baseball. And then we went and we had our Little League banquet at Little Joe's Italian Restaurant in downtown L.A. And I remember how much fun that was. And these are all my little teammates. And we had a ball. You know.
What do you mean they didn't molest you?
Well, you know, all these talk today, good God almighty, can't turn around. There isn't some adult acting like a freaking animal. I remember Mr. Brennan, he was our coach. He was just a nice man. He taught us baseball. He taught us the basics of baseball. He taught us how to slide. He taught us how to run the bases. He taught us how to catch. He taught us how to throw. He taught us how to bat the strike zone. He taught us baseball. And he was a nice man, and so was Mr. Combs. He had a son on the team. They're just nice guys. Nothing weird, nothing, you know, about them at all. What I do remember about both of those men is that they were very patient. They never once raised their voices. What I liked about both these guys, they never raised their voices. They never, ever yelled at us. In other words, they didn't treat the game as if it was them revisiting their glory days. They were there to do what you should do at Little League, teach kids how to play baseball. And as it turned out, that very patient approach, we were a good little team. We had, you know, we won a lot of games and we were in it to the end. And then I remember when we lost, we all started to cry, which probably, you know.
Well, that would have been embarrassing, bawling like a woman.
Bawling like a woman?
Well, yeah, you don't stand there.
I was 11 years old. Is that okay?
Still and all, Phil, you do have family up there. You're there crying like a bitch. I'm joking.
Dan!
Now, I'm sure you're 11 years old crying like a little bitch.
Yes, if you want to call it that, I was 11 years old crying like a bitch. This is a picture of Brian and me and Jill from the Brian and Jill Show. Here I am on the plane heading back to D.C., and the caption I can't read on the air, but it has something to do with, Billy remembers the envelope too late now, and here's another picture which people can't see on the radio. So just go to our Twitter feed, and there's a picture of me as a 16-year-old. In high school, and this is a beautiful picture of our sunset. So go to Phil's Henry, go to twitter.com/realphilhenry. You can take a look at our Twitter feed. But tonight, what we are trying to find is a decent Twitter feed having to do with the Israeli Gaza action and what is happening in social media. So during this next break, we're going to do that. Bud, are you on that?
Yeah, I'm gonna go over and probably gonna look on it, put a hashtag and everything.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. We have one here that Dan Northcraft has found, and Dan, I can't read that because I'm blind. Gaza, okay? Found one named This Is Gaza. All right, we'll go to that. We'll go to that during our break, and you guys can follow along with us. One of the most profoundly moving things for me during the whole Iran, you remember the Green Revolution?
Yes.
Okay. What happened for me was that really turned me on to the whole social media thing big time. That was back in June of 2009. And there were posts from Iran that were just amazing. There was a girl who read a poem from a rooftop. People were praying, and they were praying out of their windows. I guess the Muslim tradition is to pray sometimes in full voice out of your window at night so that it just goes to the heavens. And there were people shouting prayers out of the windows of their homes on this night in Tehran. And it was on one of the most desperate nights of this green revolution that had taken place when the police were in the streets. And it was just a very tough situation. And this girl was listening to this, and she was reciting, she was just narrating her thoughts and her feelings on this YouTube clip. Some of you guys might remember it. It was pretty amazing, and it was really beautiful. I don't know who she is. I know it survives on YouTube because it was the most moving thing in the world. I don't know whether it does good or not, man, but we'll see, you know.
I think Twitter probably does a lot of good for jokes and stuff.
Yeah. Yes, Twitter is a good place to go to have jokes retweeted. Other than that, freedom fighting and the betterment of mankind, probably not. All right, we'll be right back.
Well, Phil, don't sound all cynical. I mean, we can't change the world with Tweeter or whatever you call it.
You're right. All right, we'll be right back, however, with Tweeter or Twitter and some good jokes or not on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
During our break, we've been looking at thanks to Dan Northcraft, we found a Twitter feed called This is Gaza. And, you know, if you look at these, you know, look at the comments on This is Gaza. This is from the people who run This is Gaza. Brother, this is Israel, the root cause of all evil in the world. If Gandhi were a Palestinian, Israel would kill him. First, Israel was established. Millions were murdered and displaced. 53 years later, Palestinians reacted by rockets made in Gaza. Then there's some cat who is telling them that they're, you know, stupid and they ought to be looking at this other dude. And they're calling him brother. They say, brother, we all agree on what you say. But again, look at what Israel is doing for a boss in the West Bank. Israel loves death. Abbas is the prime minister of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. Israel needs no excuse to kill Palestinians. Israel kills day and night. Occupation is the source of evil. Gaza resistance knows their rockets are nothing compared to Israelis, but we have to defend ourselves. We have to. Now, you know, this is the Hamas. People are probably saying, well, I mean, is it true or is it true? Let me tell you something. Number one, this is not any specific statement of position. This is a whole big, broad bunch of crap from Hamas about how Israel loves death and that they're defending themselves by firing their rockets from Gaza. Now, you're really defending yourselves. What you've brought on, man, is a full-scale invasion of Gaza. You're really doing some good stuff there. You know, there's all kinds of ways you can go about helping yourselves, Gaza. You can insist, for instance, that the so-called support that you, the verbal support and the propaganda support you get from the Arab states, you can say, let's get some real action going here. What kind of money do you guys want to commit to this? How do you want to build this base? How do you want to build this platform? How do we want to proceed to something constructive as opposed to you guys just sort of joining in and saying, let's just kill all Israelis and we have to defend ourselves, but we have nothing compared to what the weapons they have. I mean, it's a losing battle all the way for the Palestinians doing this bullcrap that they've been doing since 1940, whatever.
Well, what are they supposed to do, Phil? Are they supposed to just sit back and let the Israelis occupy land that was theirs? It was their land.
Yes, it was. It was their land under the British Mandate. It was their land under the Turkish Ottoman Empire. It was their land, but it was never their land. They've always been occupied or under the administration of some outside force. It was the Turkish Ottoman Empire for 500 years. Then it was the British after World War I. And then finally comes World War II. This is a part of the world that up until World War I was controlled by the Turks. Are they Arab? What are they, by the way?
What?
The people from Turkey.
What do you mean, what are they? They're white people.
I know they're white people. Are they Arabs? Is Turkey... What is Turkey?
Turkey is Assyrian, I believe. Excuse me, I'm going to belch. I'm sorry. Oh, God, that felt good. What are you looking at?
Except with you belching, is there anything that you do, Margaret, that you can do that a little bit more ladylike than just coming up with a belch? I'd really appreciate that. All right, so what is Turkey?
I was going to say Turkey is a collection of mongrelized, and by mongrelized, I don't mean anything negative. Excuse me. Oh, God.
I'll do it.
Would you get me a Diet Coke?
No, I'm working.
I didn't mean you. I meant it. I mean him.
I'm working right now. Thank you. Mr. Henry, what was the question, what you asked?
What are Turks? Are they Arabs?
The Turks are...
The Turks.
Oh, they're Turks. Well, okay, great. They're Turks.
Why do you have to know?
Well, I mean, I'd like to know if the people of the Middle East were happy with being dictated to and controlled by an empire, a caliphate, that was centered there in Turkey. Now, in Ankara, or whatever the hell capital was. Now, it doesn't matter whether they were Turks, because the argument would be, well, they were Muslims, and that's more important. It was a Muslim caliphate. It was the last great Muslim empire the world has known, and its ass came apart in World War I because they decided to support the Germans. But more to the point, it, like any other empire, fell apart. I don't give a damn if it's a Muslim empire, if it's run by Little Red Riding Hood, if it's run by Wiccans, if it's Roman Catholic. All empires by that point in history were a absolutely ridiculous notion. You couldn't hold together all those different ethnicities under the banner of good King Wenceslas or whoever the guy was. It wasn't going to happen. So the Ottoman Empire was ripe to fall, and fall it did, just as the Austrian-Hungarian Empire did, and just as eventually the British Empire did, even though the British Empire was nowhere near the decrepit institution these other two. The British Empire was an empire that had a quasi-democratic underpinning that was far more respectful of its, of the countries that it ruled, you know. Germany, it wasn't, and they were not about to go in and slaughter millions of Indians, although they tried, before they gave them their independence. Now, where does that bring us?
Yeah, where does that bring us?
Yes, where does that bring us?
It brings us to, I hope this is a commercial break, because I don't know where the hell I'm going after this. It brings us to this. It brings us to the fact that the Palestinians now, after World War II, are sitting there and they're saying, now the British are out of here, thank God. But what do we have in its place? Well, now you got something new. What's that? The United Nations. Well, what's the United Nations? The United Nations is that body of nations that banded together to defeat the fascist entities, Germany, Japan, and so forth. The United Nations is the new one, baby. And we now run Palestine. We're going to call the shots, and we're going to have a vote. Now, what do you think about this? A Palestinian and Jewish side-by-side states. The Israelis, the Jewish Congress said, sure. Initially, the Arabs signed off on it, although there was all kinds of dissension in the ranks, and eventually they broke apart, and they said, no, we don't like that idea. There was a Palestinian state, and there was a Jewish state on the table as part of a UN resolution. Now, let me ask you a question before we go any further. Don't we hear an awful lot about UN resolutions being respected and UN resolutions being broken? Or are we now going to go down the same little road that we've been going down, which is, well, they broke it, so why can't we?
Well, Phil, the UN resolutions that have been broken by Israel are numerous, too numerous to count.
Oh, and why do you care about UN resolutions?
What do you mean, why do I care about UN resolutions? That is, if you sign your name, you know, I know this is a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question, but if you're telling me let's respect UN resolutions, well, there's one UN resolution that hasn't been respected at all by the Arab states, and that's the resolution setting up Israel as a country. That's a country. The Arabs don't want that UN resolution. They want all the other ones, but not that one. Now, you can say what you want, but Hamas and Hezbollah, and you'd have to be blind not to see this, Hamas and Hezbollah, they don't care about dead Palestinians. They use dead Palestinians as a way to fight the propaganda war. That's a war they can win. That's a war they can win, especially in the United States, with a bunch of soft-headed Americans who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about this conflict, who will sit there and say, because, you know, a lot of Americans are anti-Semitic anyway. There's a lot of Americans on both the left and the right. Let's face it, okay? Far left, far right, liberal, conservative. It's the one thing that both conservatives and progressives agree on. They really got a problem with Jews, you know?
That is not a problem with Jews. That's a problem of an oppressing state, Israel.
How do you sit there with a straight face and call Israel 5 million people an oppressing state against 500 million Arabs? Are you serious? Are you serious?
I don't know. I'm just saying I don't hate Jews. I don't hate anyone. I don't like Jews, but I really do. Well,
you're married to a Jew.
Yes.
But how come his name ain't... His name's great. Did he change it so nobody'd know?
You know, I'm gonna...
She's turning her ring around. Hey, Margaret, don't do it.
Next time I won't turn the ring around.
I was just asking.
Bud, why don't you shut up? okay?
But what, he changed his name for good because he didn't want to be a Jew?
Frank is Jewish. I'm married to a Jewish man. We're raising Jason J. Delmonico as a Catholic because that's what I prefer, because I'd rather my son be raised Catholic and not walking around with the thing. I don't want him look.
What?
I don't want my son looking like Dr. Loris.
What? What a thing to say, Margaret.
What did I say?
You don't want yours.
I don't want it all on me.
Ms. Gray, everybody can hear it on the radio.
How many times we got to tell you that you're on the radio and people can just turn up the volume and hear what you're saying?
Well, then let them turn the volume up because I'm a lady and I'm not going to say it out loud.
Oh, you're a lady and you're not going to say out loud what I just heard you say, which is...
Would you shut... I don't want my son walking around looking like that kid that learned...
What?
Do you want me to repeat it?
Yeah, I'd like you to repeat it in English, because what I just heard there sounded like either Munchkin or...
Dad, Munchkin!
Yeah, hey, why don't you say it something other than Munchkin?
You know what I'll do is I've got a big 3-carat diamond. I'm going to bring that in from home. I'm going to leave that thing turned around, and I'm going to aim right for the eye. Now, what do you want me to say?
Don't forget it. Don't say it. I'll say it. Okay?
I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't.
No, I'm going to say it. You don't want your son looking like Dr. Loras. Okay?
Laura, if you're listening, I only mean the beanie.
The beanie. Margaret, I think you're anti-Semitic. I think you probably married Frank despite the fact that he's Jewish.
How dare you?
No. Don't give me the how dare I. This is how you're talking. This is who you are. Don't give me your bull crap, okay? And you don't like Israel, and you take the side of the Palestinians because it's a convenient propaganda side to take, and it makes you look like a good guy, and it makes you look like you're defending all the weaklings. And where are you going?
You're on the toilet?
I was told I can't leave, so yes, I'm going to the toilet. You know why? Because every time you start talking that, I feel the need to eliminate it.
Well, that was pretty good. All right, we're going to... Huh?
Yeah, I think she's talking about...
Never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. I don't want my son looking like Dr. Loras. Whatever. I mean, what's wrong with that? He's a handsome, fine young man. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
So we're still looking at this as Gaza. Here's a comment. I can't take anybody serious. It says, Jewish Zionists are rejoicing the deaths and destruction their Jewish government causing to Gaza. Yes. That's right. The Israeli criminals are still shelling civilians with offensive weapons. That's the plain truth. The fact is that the Palestinian militants, if you want to call them that, are lobbing what they call homemade rockets into Israeli territory. Okay, and they're admitting that. And what they're getting upset with is that Israel is responding with their own weapons, which happen to be 1 ton in weight. And for some reason, in the weird world that Hamas lives and the militants in Gaza, you're not supposed to do that. If they're shooting homemade rockets that kill people, then in their world, you should shoot back homemade rockets that kill the equal number of people. They're all pissed off that Israel killed 30 Palestinians and all they did was kill like 3 or 4 Israelis. That's not right. That's not fair. And Israel is a really bad guy and we're just defending ourselves? From what, man? I mean, if you're defending yourself from the fact that Israel exists, okay, I understand. That's the long-standing feud. That's the bullcrap that's been going on since before I was born. So, okay, I get it, you know. And everybody's getting tired of that one. Because sooner or later, the world, if you're asking for the world's help, the world is going to say, you're going to have to figure a way to work this out, man. You know, because if you want the world's help, the world, at least as far as Phil Henry is concerned, is going to have to respond this way. Both of these peoples, Israel and Palestine, they both get to have countries. They both get to be, you know, to live and exist. And no, this bullcrap that you guys are pulling ain't going to stand. And your horse dung arguments about how we only have homemade rockets and Israel has 1 ton jobs, you know.
But you talk about 1 ton.
That's the size of the rockets that Israel's throwing in there. And then, of course, I have to like this. This is a kind of a funny tweet, if you want me to laugh. This one guy said, have you ever heard of a terrorist stadium? Well, Israel just destroyed, Israel just blew up the only grass football stadium we had in Gaza. It took us 4 years to build. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Have you ever heard of a terrorist stadium? Yep, Israel has just destroyed only Gaza grass football playground. Well, I got a great idea. Why don't you not put rockets there? Why don't you not put rockets in hospitals? Why don't you not put rockets? Are you guys kidding? Who do you think you're talking to? This bullcrap plays in the Middle East. Unfortunately, although the people of the Middle East are getting smarter, because they all of a sudden looked and they figured out that these cats that run Egypt and that scumbag that runs Syria and all the rest of them, they ain't exactly what they had in mind as good leaders. So they're reacting to that, and maybe one day they'll wake up and realize that they're being lied to by these people too. But the fact is, that kind of stuff still plays. Oh, look, they blew up our football stadium. You guys had the rockets there in the stadium.
How do you know they had rockets in that stadium? You don't know.
No, I don't. I don't. I just, I'll tell you this, though. Let me ask you a question, okay?
You, no, wait a minute. How do you know they had, you don't know. Israel purposefully targeted that soccer stadium to destroy it and to take from the Palestinian people the only real joy they have.
Wait. Let me just, can I ask you something?
Answer my question first.
What's your question?
Why would Israel destroy the only joy that those people have? I'll tell you why.
Because they're Jews?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to start calling you Hitler. I'm going to call you Phil Hitler from now on. No, I'm going to call you the Adolf Henry.
Margaret, your arguments are going that way.
How are my arguments going that way?
What possible good is Israel going to get out of blowing up a soccer stadium? Unless they truly believe there's artillery there or places where rockets are being fired. You know they're losing the propaganda battle. Yeah, I'm Israel. I think what I'll do is go and even pile on the civilian deaths and the civilian destruction, because that's really going to help me with the world. Let's go and blow up their football stadium and make them cry and make them grieve, and the pictures will go around the world and we will look so good. What are you talking about?
I think it's because they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing.
Israel doesn't know what they're doing militarily. That's pretty funny. You know, they've survived all these years with enemies on all sides, but they don't know what they're doing. You got to be kidding. They're going to go out and blow up a football stadium because they just want to make Palestinians cry and be upset and be cruel, because that just gives them all kinds of kicks. You know what, man? The Hamas is accusing Israel of the very things they do. That's what they do. That's how they think.
I think, Phil, that you have spent too many years buying into the international Jewish media. No, I don't want Frank to hear that.
What? You know, I'm going to call Frank up right. Call up Frank.
Don't you dare.
I'm calling up your husband right now. Get him on the phone.
You got it, Mr. Henry.
Ow! Don't hit him.
I don't like him mocking me.
I'm calling up Frank Gray. We'll get to the bottom of this right now.
Call him up. I'm going to find out exactly what's going on, okay? Because to me, Margaret, I think it is untoward of you, if you don't mind me saying, to keep with this whole, the Jewish this, the Jewish that.
I didn't say Jewish this and that. I was being very specific about, you know, Jews.
Yeah, you know, Jews. Have you got him?
What's his number?
What do you mean, what's his number? I'm on the air right now. Would you hurry up, please?
Yes, sir.
I can give you the number if you want. Don't you dare. If you ask my husband any embarrassing questions, so help me God.
Who's that?
That's the outside line coming in.
Well, get them off. I don't want the outside line coming in, okay? I want Frank Gray on my phone right now. Get him. Meantime, folks, remember to get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show website is a beautiful thing, and it's going to be something that you can long enjoy. Okay. Who's that?
I think that might be him calling in. Hey, Frank? Yeah, hi. You don't let us call you. Yeah. Okay, bye. We're going to call him, right?
Yes, we're going to call him. So we'll get to the bottom of this. What is that?
Frank? Yeah, what are you doing? No, you got to...
Give me the... Just put him on the air, will you? Put him on the air, will you? Hey, Frank.
Yeah, Frank Gray.
What are you doing calling us?
I thought that's what he said to do.
Who?
Margaret.
No, we want you to sit there and wait for us to call you.
All right. Is he there?
Frank, honey, it's Margaret.
Yeah, what do you want?
Frank, you're Jewish, but don't you think that the international...
Oh, is he going to do this again? We just got into this morning. I told you, you've got your head wedged, all right? There's no international Jewish anything. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm going to say this for the last time, I love you, but you know as well as I do that our son listens to this stuff that spews out of your mouth, Margaret, and she is being influenced by it. You understand that, right?
Yes, I do, Frank, but...
And I don't want to hear any more of this nonsense. I want you and Jason J. Delmonico, we're going to go over and see Rabbi Steve, because she is someone we can talk to. Don't you agree?
Yes.
So I want Jason J. Delmonico, you and me, to talk to Rabbi Steve and her wife. And I think the five, does that make five of us or four? I forget.
That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, the five of us, you, Jason J. Delmonico, and Mrs. Rabbi Steve. And you know, he makes great dinner. And Rabbi Steve, she can read, well, you know that.
Phil Hendry.